Tereo Ererangi o Te Mānia. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
Between the Waters, Polish Legacy New Zealand Charitable Trust presents you with the radio broadcast, Polish Waves.
Dzień dobry from Poland. This is Polish Waves, broadcasting on Plains Media 96.9 FM.
We are broadcasting at Canterbury Community Access Radio Station. You've just joined us on a journey to learn something about our home country, Poland.
This broadcast is presented by Between the Waters, Polish Legacy in New Zealand Trust, and sponsored by Polish Embassy in Wellington. Thank you. We advocate and promote Polish heritage as part of New Zealand ethnic identity and provide forum to present, share, and celebrate Polish uniqueness. You can look us up on Facebook, Polish Legacy in New Zealand. We are also available as a podcast on plains.org.nz. Welcome to February. Welcome to very cold February. We are going to talk about winter because February is a winter month in Poland. And so it happened this year. It's a very, very, very cold winter. At the moment, they've got like minus 20 plus or minus 20 minus temperatures. So it's very cold. It's unprecedented. I don't actually remember winters as cold. So we thought that we are going to travel to Polish mountains on that occasion. And we are going to talk about Polish mountains, the ranges in Poland, and we will talk about it in details and as highlights and stuff. But before we go to Poland, we will stay locally here in Christchurch because we've got a very special guest this month. She has been long coming to the studio for us. She has been a very long-standing friend of the Polish community here in Christchurch, and she is an outstanding persona. Outstanding woman and a good friend of a lot of people. And I'm going to have tears in my eyes now because it's very personal. So I would like to welcome to our studio in February, Mrs. Winsome Dormer, the Honorary Consul of Poland for South Island. And we are going to chat all sorts of womanly things, maybe, maybe not. Welcome to the studio, Winsome.
Thank you, Dorota. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, as I mentioned before, Winsome is the Honorary Consul of Poland, and that involves a lot of stuff like community work, all voluntary, obviously. But we would like to touch base on the role of Honorary Consuls, because obviously our radio station is all ethnic station. And I suppose all other communities out there do have honorary consuls around the country or in Christchurch. So we would like to concentrate to start with on the maybe if I call it a job description of an honorary consul. So what does it actually involve, Winsome?
Well, thank you, Dorota, for inviting me along. It's just a great privilege and pleasure to be here. I am the first honorary consul representing Poland. It's exciting to know that actually in the South Island, there are 23 countries represented. So it's wonderful to know that we have such a strong international connection. I was invited to become the Honorary Consul of Poland back in 2010, by our first female ambassador, Beata, and she was... Her goal was to find somebody who could develop cultural and business links between the South Island of New Zealand and Poland. And she wanted to see business opportunities develop and grow. And that has been exciting to see the changes. In fact, this afternoon I had a phone call from Brent, who has Merino Software. And he's just so excited because he's come back from 9 days in Poland, meeting with various other Polish companies that are interested in working together I mean, the economy of Poland at this very present time is 20th in the world. It's very significant. And I was fortunate to be at a trade delegation in Auckland. I think there were around 40 or 50 representatives of various companies and countries who had come from Eastern Europe, specifically looking for venture partners, and it was all about the rebuild of Ukraine. Mm. And this rebuild of Ukraine is an enormous amount of money going to be involved, and New Zealanders have some very particular skills that can be used in rebuilding Ukraine.
Mm. And it's worth mentioning that you've got all those contacts because of your professional capacity. Otherwise, you wouldn't know that the companies out there that want to do business with Poland or any other countries. And I suppose it is quite rewarding to know that there is so much interest in business from New Zealand in Poland, so far away, and vice versa. So I think it's a good connection, isn't it?
It is a wonderful connection, and there's a lot of similarities. I'm a ship supplier, as you know, even though my degree is in education and I was a speech therapist. But that's really my initial link. Mm. Actually, when I was a little girl, farmer's daughter from Tapanui growing up, my father had a great friend called Greg Podofsky, and he was a very, very good horse trainer. And as you know, I love my racehorses, so I particularly remember the highlight of going along to see Mr. Podofsky training my father's horse. So that was probably the first Polish name connection that I recall. But in the 90s, Independent Fisheries had the first joint venture with Polish vessels. These were, it ended up three vessels that came from Delmore in Poland. They came from the port of Gdynia. And it was amazing because they came to New Zealand looking, knowing that we had lots of sea around us and that we had a fishing industry background. And they came, and my late husband, Mike, who you knew, who was also actually honorary consul for Chile. He did a wonderful job representing Chile. But anyway, these Polish men came and we took them. We thought, let's take them to a typically New Zealand experience. And we took them to the North Loburn dog trials, where my brother-in-law was actually a top New Zealand dog trialist and he was showing his dog. And we went in for a whisky, actually, afterwards in the little tin shed on the side of the mountain. And the man behind the bar said, "Dzień dobry." And these two Polish men from Delmore in Gdynia just were blown away, really. And with the scenery, the friendliness to see such a unique situation. Mm-hmm. And in actual fact, that began a huge friendship, which developed in three vessels, the Delmore, the Altair, and the Atria, all coming out to New Zealand to fish on a joint venture with Independent Fisheries, which at that time employed 450 local Cantabrians in the factory at Woolston. And that way, you know, being a ship supplier, I used to run up the gangplank with a sharp pencil and a piece of paper and take orders of all the things they wanted. And we became great friends. Always the lunches on board those ships were set. The tables were set beautifully with tablecloths and beautiful cucumbers, sliced tomatoes, and delicious food, often pork. And it was a great joy for us at Independent Providors to supply all that food to the vessels. There were 86 men on each vessel. So there's 250 Polish people that I had the pleasure and joy of observing, watching, knowing.
For years, because they've been here for quite a number of years.
Yes.
And that's probably your second connection with Poland, that connection with Dalmor after the dog, after the horse trainer person. Now, It is interesting from a business perspective, but it's also, I suppose your role is also in the community, Polish community as well. How do you get involved with us, Polish people and Polish community? What's your take on that?
Well, that has been an amazing learning curve, and just being able to share cultural events with the dance group, coming along to the annual general meetings. I mean, I knew nothing about what went on within the Polish community, and going to the church services at Easter time and Christmas time, and learning about the traditions. I mean, my life has been so enriched from the relationship.
So kind. What makes it special for you, Unzum? What makes it for you? I mean, it's a voluntary work, so you know you do it in your free time. Yeah, I suppose culture, I don't know.
It's the people.
Fair
it's
enough.
The people.
Good answer.
Do you remember when you came and sat on the sofa in my office and you said, it was the most amazing experience. Dorota, you're a perfect example. Mike, as I mentioned, you know, was the Honorary Consul of Chile, and he said, look, the Honorary Consul of Uruguay says there's this Polish lady and you need to talk to her. Dorota came to my office and she said, look, I've come from the other side of the world and I want to become a New Zealand citizen. Mm. And it was the points system in those days.
Yeah.
And one way and another, we made it work. And that's just the reason why.
Yeah, and I'm forever grateful.
So that's a very personal story.
Forever grateful.
So yes. Have you been to Poland?
Yes. As a result of my relationship with the Delmore, I was invited to go to their office and to see around. And I'm excited to say, the natural fact, I sold in through the company, we sold the first container of New Zealand wine to Poland. I did a deal at Eden Park Rugby Ground, the boot of the car with Mr. Nobilo, and it was an amazing coincidence. And that full container of Sauvignon Blanc was the first wine ever exported to Poland, and it was sold through Delmore and through that company. But I think a lovely link has been that my office is in Littleton, and so there's a wonderful, and you can connect with this. This is called Between the Waters, your group, and it really is symbolic, I feel, of the link between that part of Poland and New Zealand. And also it's been exciting to learn about the history that many people left from Gdynia and came to New Zealand and came all over the world. And, of course, one of the joys has been knowing the story of the Pahiatua children. That has been a very special journey, and I enjoyed going last year to the special celebration in Pahiatua.
Yeah, that's the most known story of Polish history in New Zealand, and there is many others as well. And yes, you have been a great supporter of anything and everything Polish in Canterbury and in Dunedin as well. I know you travel there extensively for the meetings and different celebrations in Otago for the South Poles down south.
Yeah. They're a very active group, are to be congratulated for all the things they've done. The little church that they had relocated from Waihola, it's very special with the lovely windows. And I was down in Dunedin just recently. We laid a plaque at Port Chalmers celebrating the early settlers arriving on the Palmerston into Port Chalmers.
Yeah, that's lovely. Do you know any Polish, Winsome, yet?
Dorota, I've failed miserably.
It's okay. There's still, there's still plenty of time. It's also worth mentioning that you, Winsome, are holding a position of Dean of Consular Corp. Currently, I think it's the second term now for you. So I just wonder if you can tell us how do you work as a group for other communities, as a group of consuls of different countries. How do you work as a group for the community as well?
We have monthly meetings, and the international group or the international division of the Christchurch City Council are so supportive. Mm. They are kept extremely busy with visiting trips from visits from ambassadors and delegations coming to the city. And we meet, we try and meet monthly, but realistically we make it work every 2 months. Mm-hmm. So this can be a combination of going to visit the cathedral being restored. We also usually meet in the Camellia Room at the Christchurch City Council. And our mayor, Phil Major, who's very supportive to the Consular Corps, because he's proud of the fact that 23 countries and growing numbers are represented here in Christchurch. And he and the international group are very supportive. Every activity and invitation, they always come along. We have had visits to Marais, to the Marae. We have had a visit to a water cremation service, because sometimes, sadly, you know, people from various countries have accidents here and bodies need to be repatriated. So Bellam Trotter did a marvellous presentation on two occasions explaining what's involved with that process. Mm. So we like to learn. We go to the universities, University of Canterbury or out to Lincoln University, to learn what is going on in those areas. Sometimes we may have a guest speaker. We have been very involved in going along with to the headquarters for civil defence in the police station. Mm. And that was most helpful. Mm. I'm very impressed with the Multicultural Centre, and it's great to see that being used by so many different ethnic groups.
It is, yeah.
And it's easy to park there. It's a very pleasant, peaceful situation.
And it's very central too.
It's very central. Just had a delegation from Wilcopiska region, and that was hugely successful. They're coming back in May to do art and painting and cultural activities in the City Art Gallery, and they're also going to be, there are going to be various trade missions throughout this year.
Yeah,
I was privileged to be part of the group that were here in November, end of November, and we also went down to Tekapo to look at the night skies, and it was very special to be part of that and just to see the enthusiasm involved with New Zealand. I feel that Brent today, who rang me, whose company is Merino Software, he said that that New Zealand's a very trusted partner in trade. And I think we can be very proud of our reputation in joint relationships.
And connection with Poland, who is which is obviously now under snow in February. And
and Sir David Carter led a trade mission to Poland some years ago. Winston Peters has been, and there's a growing interest. I think the Polish stock market is one of the most successful in Europe at this very moment.
Sure is. So what's next in this area? The Wielkopolska region, and people are coming here in May.
They're coming in May. They're bringing 16 or 17 members of their orchestra, and they're going to be combining with the Christchurch Symphony Orchestra. Graham Sadler's done a very welcoming and professional job including them in this whole participation, and the conductor of the orchestra is going to go and make herself available for school visits and for assisting young people with the orchestra. It's really exciting to see this development. And they've particularly chosen Christchurch.
Well, I wonder why. There's no other better place than in New Zealand. And in your consul capacity, you're going to Poland, I believe, as well for a meeting with in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, right?
Yes. 2nd, 3rd and 4th of July. I'm so excited and I'm looking forward to receiving the programme. We haven't had any details like that. And the Honorary Consul for Poland for the North Island, he came to visit me in my office recently and he is going as well. I think it's wonderful that we have got a Polish citizen, a New Zealand Polish honorary consul in the North Island, and I think it works very well having a local New Zealander.
We
work together
and a woman.
We help each other.
And a woman. No, this is the best person ever for the Polish community and for the Polish business as well. And I congratulate you, Winsome, on everything you've done for the connection, for Polish community, for all sorts of different people throughout the years, and hopefully that is still to continue for next term, perhaps.
Well, thank you, Dorota. It's my pleasure and my privilege.
Thank you so much, Winsome.
Thank you. Wytarta płyta gramofonowa, cygański romans, kabackie słowa. A szaraban mój, amerykanka, ja nie artystka, ja szarlatanka. W podrzędnym szynku grzmiało do ranka, ja nie artystka, ja szarlatanka. Och, musiała mnie chyba opętać ta melodia łkająca obleśnie, że nie mogłam spamiętać i zapomnieć nie mogłam tej pieśni. Gdyśmy wyszli z tej knajpy podmiejskiej, gdzie patefon do pijanych się modlił wspomnieniami do pieśni złodziejskiej, po fałszywej wracałam melodii. A szaraban mój, amerykanka, ja nie artystka, ja szarlatanka. Powiedziałam, a wiesz, mimo wszystko coś w tym jest, prawdę śpiewa cyganka, bo sam przyznasz, że jestem artystką, ale kocham cię jak szarlatanka. Nawet w twoich ramionach, mój miły, już od dzisiaj nie znajdę radości, już mnie będą wabiły, kusiły szarabańskie, cygańskie piękności. A szaraban mój, amerykanka, ja nie artystka, ja szarlatanka.
Welcome back. Now we are going to Poland after being in New Zealand for a while. And as I mentioned, it's a winter time now in Poland, and we are going to travel to Polish mountains. Now, Poland isn't usually the first country people think of for mountains, I would imagine, but it has some really cool ranges with plenty of character. And I'm going to mention just a few as a bullet points, and then Jen and Marie are going to cover some in details because they are very, very interesting. So, Polish mountains are located in the southern region of Poland and offer diverse scenic landscapes ranging from alpine Tatra Mountains to the forested Bieszczady, and also unique rock formation in the Sudety. Now, the main ranges in Poland are Tatry, and Jen is going to cover that in details. Tatry we share with Slovakia, and this range is often compared to the Alps because of the sharp peaks and lakes, glacial lakes. The famous one is Morskie Oko, and apparently it is one of the most photographed places in the country, Morskie Oko, worth visiting, by the way. And now, Tatry are also home of rare animals like the Tatra marmots, but I'm sure Jen is going to cover that. Now, the fun fact about Tatry is that weather can change in minutes. Don't we know it? Like in Christchurch, isn't it? So there is sun, fog, storm, all in one hike. You can have it all. Now, the second one we are going to cover today is Sudety. That's Maria's chapter. And that is located also in the southwestern of Poland. It borders with Czechs and Germany. And they are known for the Table Mountains. The others were peaks, and those are the Table Mountains. So they are flat on the top. And there is a lot of labyrinths in there, apparently. They are also, Sudeta is also also very rich in legends. There is a lot of old mines. And the spa towns like Karpacz and Kudowa Zdrój are located there in Sudeta as well. The fun fact, the highest mountain, the Śnieżka, has extreme winds, like in Canterbury, I guess. And they are some of the strongest in Europe as well. So Sudeta is the second range we would like to mention. Now, we also have Beskide, and they are rolling mountains and green. The highest peak there is Babia Góra, called also the Queen of the Beskids. It's popular for hikes and peaceful landscapes. And the fun fact is that Babia Góra, the highest peak there, creates its own weather and is nicknamed Mother of Bad Weather, apparently. The next one, very famous one, is Bieszczady Mountains. It's wild, remote, and poetic. It is famous for white mountain meadows called Połoniny. It is very low in population because and it's therefore perfect for escaping crowds if you want to have a peaceful, poetic time away from the city. The highest peak is Tarnica. And the fun fact about it is that after World War II, many villages in Bieszczady has disappeared because the nature fully reclaimed them. That's interesting, isn't it? And the last one I'm going to mention is Świętokrzyskie Mountains, very good for hiking. This is among the oldest mountains in Europe, Świętokrzyskie Góry. And the highest peak is Wisica. And the fun fact, oh, I don't know about the fun, but according to legend, witches' Sabbaths took place on Wisza Góra. Here we are. So, as we know, Poland has got mountains, beaches, lakes, and deserts, but we are going to the mountains, and here is Jen with the Tatra Mountains.
Tatra National Park is Poland's largest national park and is located in the Tatra Mountains in central southern Poland. The Tatra Mountains form a natural border between Poland to the north and Slovakia to the south, and the two have cooperated since the early 20th century on efforts to protect the area. Slovakia created an adjoining national park, and in 1992, the Polish and Slovakian national parks in the Tatras were jointly designated as a transboundary biosphere reserve by UNESCO. The Tatras are characterised by sharp, jagged peaks and stunning rock formations.
Rysy
is the highest summit in Poland, reaching a height of 2,499 metres or 8,199 feet, and is located here. There are also around 650 caves in the park, of which
Wielka Śnieżna
cave system is the largest and deepest. This stretches a distance of 11 miles, 18 kilometres, with a maximum depth of 2,671 feet, 814 metres. The park also has over 30 mountain lakes, with the largest being Morskie Oko
means eye.
Oh, yeah. This lake encompasses an area of 3,756,604 square feet. Tatra National Park is home to endangered and localised wildlife species. Some of the park's popular species include the brown bear, grey wolf, Eurasian lynx, and the European otter. The Tatra chamois and marmot are two of the highly protected species of the park. It is not permitted to camp or bivouac anywhere in the national park. It is also prohibited to light fires in the national park other than in designated sites in tourist villages. One of the most characteristic features of the Tatra landscape is its biological diversity, resulting in over 10,000 plant and animal species. For visitors, the park offers 275 kilometres of marked hiking trails of varying degrees of difficulty. A dense network enables tourists to reach the most interesting scenic areas of the Tatras. Also, 8 tourist resorts are open all year round. They offer both accommodation and catering. However, from April to November the 30th, all trails are closed from dusk until dawn. Zakopane, often called the winter capital of Poland, is located at the foothills of the Tatra mountain range. Zakopane hosts approximately 3 million tourists from all around the world. Summer visitors are welcome to hike on a network of marked trails. Zakopane also has a number of museums, architectural buildings, folk art and craft, as well as a number of excellent restaurants. Tatra National Park is recognised by CNN as one of the world's 30 best national parks to visit. It is also the most visited national park in Poland.
Yes, it sure is. And it's I guess you can go to the mountains in any season of the year, in the winter as well as the summer. Tatra Mountains are also a UNESCO Biosphere Reserve, recognized by UNESCO. And an interesting fact is that you can travel from one country to another, just hopping on the hike, basically. So you start the hike in Poland, you can finish that in another country. So that's Tatry. And that Zakopane is quite quite famous for visiting. It's not far from Krakow, where most visitors normally go and visit. And in Zakopane, if you're ever in Zakopane, look for the sleeping knight, because the Giewont, the mountain Giewont that you can see resembles a lying knight. And on the highest peak, there is a cross, and you can see it from a distance. I climbed it twice in my life, and it's really worth going there. So that was Tatry, and that was about Zakopane. Welcome back. We are talking national parks in general, and do you know that there's 23 national parks in Poland?
Wow.
Most of parks are divided into strictly and partially protected zones. They currently encompass around 186,000 hectares of forest, or around 2% of all country's woodland.
Now, in order to become a national park, an area needs to be at least 1,000 hectares in size and have outstanding environmental and cultural value. So obviously there is a lot of value in Poland of that kind.
Some of these are UNESCO sites.
That's right. I can't remember how many, but some of them are, yes. The ecosystems in the park need to be in their natural state or close to it. And national parks usually play host to several valuable species as Jen mentioned in Tatra. And now we are traveling to Sudety Mountains. And here's Maria with some information on Sudety. Here we go.
While Zakopane is very much a tourist hotspot, Sudetes mountains are a major scenic mountain range. And they're in the southwestern part of Poland, and they extend about 310 kilometres along the Czech and the German borders. They're actually older than the mountains that Jan's just talked about, which means that they've resulted in more of a rounded and eroded peaks through these ranges. As Poland's second highest range, they feature quite a diverse landscape, including rocky mesas of the Table Mountains and the high peaks of the Giant Mountains. The range includes spruce forests, mountain bogs. Jezera Meadow is one of the country's coldest spots and often referred to as the Polish Cold Pole. Bet it's cold this year.
It is cold in Poland everywhere, I can tell you that.
The mountain range is divided into three main sections. So that is the western, the central and the eastern. In the western ranges, the Giant Mountains are the highest section of the range, mostly made up of forest. However, there are spectacular cirques, which are bowl-shaped depressions carved by glaciers. There's steep cliffs and a lot of mountain lakes. The highest mountain top is Śnieżka.
Śnieżka. Śnieżka, which translates into snowflake. Snowflake?
Does it?
Yeah, snowflake.
It's about 1,600 metres high, which is about the height of going to the Mount Hutt base.
So it's not that high, I guess.
Which is quite incredible. The landscape across these ranges are amazing, but they're actually not that high compared to what we have in New Zealand.
Mm.
The area is known as the windiest and most cloudy place in Poland. It's home to local legend folklore mountain spirit, Rubezal, who's the legendary guardian of the giant mountains.
If you say so, I believe you.
I think he's several other names, but
fair enough.
This seems to be the common one. So Rubezal can take any form, ranging from a monk in a grey frock to an old woman, and is often associated with the howling wind and the rising mist. Once considered a volatile demon, he evolved into a protector of the poor against the greedy landlords, a ruler of nature, and a good fortune bringer to local miners and shepherds. The Giant Mountains are popular for skiing, cross-country skiing, and mountain biking, and they contain about 450 kilometres of mountain biking tracks. The Table Mountains, which are in the central Sudety, are famous for their unique horizontal rocks which are piled on top of each other over millions of years ago. Wind and water erosion have shaped these rocks, and the landscape consists of table-shaped mountains. But there's also many smaller rocks that formations that resemble humans, mushrooms and animals, along with deep gorges. The Table Mountains are the only plate mountains in Europe. This means that they're formed by tectonic plates colliding, and it's forced up the mountains. And this central range are also the
Sovia Mountains,
Owl Mountains,
yes.
Yeah. Which is known as the oldest mountain ranges in the region. It names comes from the many owl species that live there. These mountains contain a series of underground shelters and tunnels built between 1943 and 1945 by the Nazis. They're known as the Rhys Complex. It has one of the most, the largest, it was one of the most largest military undertakings during the Second World War. After 1945, nearly 3 million ethnic Germans were expelled from this region, which was then resettled by Poles and Czechs. In the east, the Sudeti are separated from the Carpathian Mountains by an area called the Moravian Gate. This is primarily located in the Czech Republic, not in Poland, but this gate forms a really important natural, historic and modern trade transport corridor between the two countries, and it's used as a border passage. It formed an ancient trade route called the Amber Road, which connected the Baltic and North Sea coast to the Mediterranean for over 3,000 years. It was active during the Roman era, and the network passed through modern-day Poland, Austria and Slovenia to reach Italy, exchanging amber for Mediterranean goods like salt, silk and ceramics.
Hmm.
This corridor was instrumental in migrations and as a route for invading armies. The unique topography has influenced biodiversity, acting as a dispersal corridor for species across the southern and northern Europe. This eastern area of the ranges contains the longest range, called the Golden Mountains, named due to the veins of gold found in the slopes. They are low, reaching just under 1,000 metres high, which is higher than the Port Hills, but it's lower than the North Canterbury ranges behind Oxford. There are extensive trail networks for hiking that connect the various ranges, often along the Polish-Czech border. The region is specifically famous for its minerals, and there's about 230 different types that have been identified, mining industry and glass production. Decades ago, the forest was mostly used for wood to produce forest glass, but now they've stopped that and a lot of lichens and that have grown back, which has meant that they've become national parks.
National parks, So, and speaking about hiking, actually, I found an information about the different trails and stuff in Poland, and we have over 10,000 kilometers of marked hiking trails. So, you know, if you ever want to go hiking, here we are. So we have it all, I believe. We have we can go swimming in the Baltic, you know, during the summer, and lovely sandy beaches. Then you can travel to the lakes in the middle and some plains, and then you can travel to the mountains. And there is even a desert, believe it or not. There is a desert in Poland called Wendów Desert, and it's actually a desert. Yes. Looks like a desert anyway. Yes. So here we are. We've got it all, and we've just been traveling to the mountains. Thank you, ladies, for a lovely encounter on Polish mountains. There's definitely a picturesque places to visit, to try, and no matter what time of the year. So here we are. Hopefully our listeners can be encouraged now to travel to Poland. So
there's certainly potential to travel or to hike basically right from one end of the ranges near Germany right through to the other end.
And you can enjoy the folklore and culture and everything else in between. So here we are.
Trzeba. Nie ryj, wysu, nie ryj, bo cię tu nie. łobyć góry, lasy, łobyć lasy, góry, łobyć góry, lasy, nawróć się do nieba. Idzie wystyk zdoła, Josie nie łodzioła. Ino są paseckie, ino są paseckie, ino są paseckie, Bóg się nie spodziała. Ino są paseckie, ino są paseckie, ino są paseckie, Bóg się nie spodziała.
Idzie wystyk zdoła na dolinie. Idzie wystyk zdoła na dolinie.
Welcome back. You were just listening to one of the most famous Polish Highlander folk song, Góralska Muzyka, Polish Highlander music, is usually from the Podhale region and is characterized by a string-based ensemble traditionally featuring violin, viola, and a cello-like bass called basolia. The key instruments also include a small carved fiddle called złupcoki, bagpipes called dudy, and a wooden flute called fujarka. Now, we've been talking earlier a lot about the resort town of Zakopane in southern Poland at the base of the Tatra Mountains. It is a popular departure point for winter sports and summertime mountain climbing. This resort is located about 100 km south of Krakow, and it's a popular destination for a lot of tourists. Now, when talking about Zakopane, I need to tell you the legend of the mountain that is towering over Zakopane, and that mountain is called Giewont. Why? Because it looks like a sleeping knight. There has long been a legend about a treasure hidden in the corridors of this mountain massif, and the legend goes. Once upon a time, a young shepherd named Kuba was grazing his sheep in the meadows around Giewont. He had also heard from his father stories about a treasure hidden in the mysterious-looking mountain. One day, one of Kuba's sheep went missing. While searching for it, the boy came to one of the Giewont's caves, where he saw sleeping knights. After returning home, the boy told his father about his adventure. "You know, Dad," he said, "there was no treasure, only those knights." "And that is our treasure, boy. The treasure is freedom. Those knights, enchanted in the rocks, guard our freedom. And freedom, my boy, is the greatest treasure. Remember that." The Sleeping Knight mountain, the silhouette particularly visible and can be viewed from the north, clearly resembles a reclining knight. On the top of that, a 15-meter-high steel cross was erected at the summit in the 1900, further reinforces the mountain's role as a protector and religious symbol of the region. And here's more Polish Highlander music, Muzyka Góralska. Enjoy.
Hey, shalom. szalała, ej, rybecka za wodą.
Ale ja nie będę, ale ja nie będę, ej, chłopoku za tobą. Ale ja nie będę, ale ja nie będę, ej, chłopoku za tobą.
Szalała, szalała, ej, musi je pić ciało.
Ale ja nie będę, ale ja nie będę, ej, bo chłopców nie mało. Ale ja nie będę, ale ja nie będę, ej, bo chłopców nie mało.
Kamienia na kamień, przeskakuje z rocka. Tego chłopca koką, tego chłopca koką, ej, co mocorne łocka. Tego chłopca koką, tego chłopca koką, ej, co mocorne łocka. Kamienia na kamień, przeskakuje jeleń. Mnie chłopcy kochają, ej, a ja o tym nie wiem. Mnie chłopcy kochają, ej, a ja o tym nie wiem.
Goodbye. You were listening to Polish Waves on Plains Media.
Look us up on Facebook, Polish Legacy in New Zealand.
Please join us next month on March the 13th at 8 p.m.
Do usłyszenia!